It's because of God's command. You know, pretty simple. If we base it all down and boil it all down, lay down the facts, hardcore facts, God has told us to do it. I mean, besides anything else, that should be enough. God has told us to do it. Have you ever tell your kids, because I told you so? Now, kids, have you ever heard that from your parents? I told you so. It's just because I told you so. Young people, that should be good enough. But it sure helps when the parent explains it. Sure helps when the parents explains it from the Bible. You know what you do then? You disciple your children. You teach them it's not just because of what you think and what you want. It's because what God wants for our family, and show them from the Word of God. Now, you can't always do that. Sometimes there's situations that young people just aren't able to understand or comprehend, or some situations they don't need to know all the circumstances. Sometimes they just need to learn how to obey, right? They just need to learn how to obey because they don't know the whole story. Does that sound a lot like us? You know, sometimes we just need to learn how to obey God because we don't know the whole story. You think about one of those crocheting things. You got those crocheting things, and those are cool. I could not have the patience to do that. But you take it, and when you crochet, you make a beautiful picture, but if you turn it upside down, it looks like a mess, doesn't it? It's a complete, utter mess. Am I right, ladies? I mean, I'm not saying about the wrong thing, right? If you look underneath it, you got a mess there, but when you turn it upside down, it's a beautiful picture. And it all depends on how you're looking at it. God from his perspective is orchestrating a beautiful plan. He is bringing this world to an end according to his design and according to his purpose. It's a beautiful picture on top. And that's what he's seeing. He's omniscient. He knows everything that's going on. Now, us that are down here, that are underneath, we're looking up and we're seeing the mess and we're saying, what in the world is going on? How can that mess ever produce anything good? But, you know, it's based off of God's command. And what's God's command? It says, he said to him, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And why should we obey God? It's because of our love for him. The Bible says, for this is the love of God, that we should keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Wait, this is the love of God. If we truly, truly love God, he says we're going to keep his commandments. And we've been given a mandate. We've been given a commandment to tell other people about Jesus Christ. So it's a heart issue. So tonight, the reason why we should launch out into the deep, the reason why we should take that step of faith and be willing to tell others about Jesus Christ, is because of God's commandments. Second thing I want you to understand and get to is, the reason why we should launch is because we're not going to catch anything if we're sitting still. We're not going to catch anything sitting still. I told you before, I'm not much of a fisherman. I've probably been maybe 10 times in my whole life fishing. And to be honest with you, they have not been very successful times. I went fishing a couple times with people, and I sat there for hours and did not catch anything. Some of the most boring times in all my life. You try talking to somebody, and they're like, shh, you're going to mess the fish up. And I'm like, oh, great. Well, you know what? I knew no one thing for sure. If I did not get the fishing pole out, did not put the bait on the hook, cast the hook into the water, I wasn't going to catch anything. If I'm just going to sit on the dock of the bay watching things go by, guess what? I'm not going to catch anything. If the fishing pole stays in the truck, if the nets stay in the boat, I don't know, maybe you fishermen are so good that maybe when you take the boats out into the water that the fish just jump right in. But I don't think that happens very often. Does that happen often very much, Mr. Steve? Mr. Bobby, does a fish jump in the boat? No, they don't. Because nothing's going to happen while you're standing still. Those are two of our expert fishermen over there. I don't know. Well, I know Mr. Bobby is because I've eaten some of the fish he's caught. I'm sure Mr. Steve catches some fish, right, Mr. Steve? He throws them all back. But you're never going to catch anything until you put the hook in the water. You're not going to catch anything until you put the worm on the hook or the bait on the hook or whatever lure you use. It's just not going to happen. And that's what Peter's sitting here, and he's got a choice. Am I going to listen to God? He had a choice. He's going to decide whether or not he's going to launch out, whether or not he's going to take that net that he said, not nets, and drop it in the water. You're not going to catch anything sitting still. The Bible says simply, go into all the world. If you do not go, you will not see any results. If you do not go, you will not see results. If you do not invite someone to Friend Day, No one's going to come. No one's going to know about it. Now, yes, one of your other friends might, somebody else might invite one of your friends, and then you might be able to see. I understand that. But no one's magically going to show up at the church and say, hey, thanks for inviting me to Friend Day, unless you send out the invitation. It's just not going to happen. Third reason I want you to think about, and we need to move quickly here, is because we have something precious to share. It's not just because there's a commandment, not just because when you sit still, nothing's going to happen. We have something precious to share. Most of you know today that today was the first full day of football. And I appreciate all those that when I walked in the door saying, did you enjoy that Steelers game? The Steelers lost. And they all came up to me and says, hey, did you like that game? Whatever. But on Thursday night, on this past Thursday night, they had their first game of the regular season. It was the Ravens versus the Broncos. And I'm getting to a point, ladies. I'm not trying to bore you. The Ravens versus the Broncos. And during this game, I didn't watch the game, but I did see a highlight. During this game, one of the Broncos players actually intercepted the ball. What interception means is that when the offense throws the ball, the defense has a chance to catch it. And as he was running back for a touchdown, he began to celebrate early. And as he began to celebrate early, he dropped the ball on the one-yard line. And as he dropped the ball on the one-yard line, the ball then went out the back of the end zone. Instead of being a touchdown for his own team, the other team got the ball on the 20-yard line. Now, you say, Pastor, what are you trying to get? Well, you think about it. In football, what's the most precious thing? It's the ball. You need to take care of the ball. You need to make sure you don't drop the ball. You need to make sure that you don't give the ball away. You take care of the ball. It's something that's precious. If you don't got the ball, you can't score points. If you don't got the ball, except for safety. That's I know how to play football. But if you don't have the ball, it's what is precious. You know what? We have something precious in our hands too. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But like many of us, we're dropping that thing that's precious, and we're not carrying it. We're not carrying it to the world. If the most precious thing that is on a football field is that ball, and you need to protect that ball from the other team. And God has entrusted to our care a truth far more valuable than any football. It's the gospel. And Paul understood this truth. Listen to what he says but in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. He says, but as we are allowed, listen to this, we are allowed of God. This is a privilege that we have, to have something so precious living inside of us, hidden inside this vessel, allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but to God which trieth our hearts. What the Bible is saying there is you have been given something precious, and as you're given something precious, that we need to be trustworthy with this. And as we take this precious thing with us, we need to share it. But so many times, we get so worried about other things in this world, like that Bronco defender. He wanted to look good. He wanted to celebrate. He wanted to do his little dance in the end zone. But he looked pretty foolish because he missed the whole purpose of what he was doing there. He didn't take care of the thing that was most precious. And Christian, one of the things that's most precious to us is our gospel. God has specifically committed the gospel to us. He has entrusted to us with the gospel. And he has commanded us to take this to the world. Yet, like the football players, we are not taking very good care of this most precious ministry God has given us. Listen to another verse that he gives us. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He has given us something more precious, more valuable than gold, silver. You heard Brother Islet's song. I think it was rivers of silver, mountains of gold, whatever the words were. He's given us something more precious than all those things. And that's our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's more precious to me. Second thing I want you to see is not only why should we launch, which is basically God's commanded us, and because we're not going to catch anything or do anything unless we launch out into the deep, and because we have something precious to share. As I mentioned to you before, a long, long time ago, when I was in college, I was one of those annoying people that would call you up as a telemarketer and say, hey, do you want a credit card? I know you're in debt already with your credit card numbers. You could transfer it to my credit card and have no interest rate for 12 months. And you could, you know, I was trying to sell credit cards that people did not need. That is not precious. That is just trying to take advantage of people. And I'm glad I don't do that. Wish I never had done that, to be honest with you. But the gospel is not like that. You have something that is precious to offer to somebody. You have something that the whole world needs. You're not trying to give them something they don't need. You have something the whole world needs. Second thing is, what stops us from launching? What stops us from launching? Think about it. What is it that stops you from giving the gospel out? First thing I want you to think about, and I just want to be honest with you, be honest with what I hear from most Christians, we do not think that it will work. We just don't think it will work. That's what Peter says here in verse number 5. He says, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. He says, Master,